Good morning, afternoon.
Hello.
Okay, I think my presentation is probably going to come from a slightly different perspective probably than others and will be a little bit less technical because we're really focusing on the advocacy aspect of getting seniors involved in the work that we do because it's so important to have their voices lifted up and being the ones talking to our politicians and the folks who are actually making the policy changes. So there are no personal financial relationships to disclose. And just in general, California Walks, as you can see, is the statewide voice for pedestrian safety and healthy walkable communities for people of all ages and all abilities. As part of our work, we focus not only on our statewide activities and policy and advocacy, but also on fostering connections at the local level. And so we support 28 local walk advocacy groups across the state and their work that they're doing hyper-locally, as well as filling in the gaps, and that's a bit about what I'm going to talk about today in San Jose, and we're always growing. And so I think it's important to, often when I start to talk about what I do, people say, oh, well, what does that have to do with health? Besides, we ask people to get their 10,000 steps a day, but we do look at it from a different perspective other than just getting your steps in. So we know that overall, walkable communities provide all of these benefits, and that's safer environments for people who are using active transportation to get around. But when you're talking to particular populations, it's also important to remind them that it also provides safer environments for driving because people don't often identify as pedestrians or as walkers. Better access to more places, more opportunities to be physically active, and mobility options for everyone, again, as part of our mission, regardless of your age or ability. Now, for seniors in particular, we found that it provides walkable communities provide improved physical and mental health, increased independence, and socialization opportunities that can prevent isolation. So that goes to your physical and mental health, and that's important. So let me get into some details about seniors and walking. Nationally, there are over 50% of non-driving seniors that stay at home on any given day because they lack transportation. That is critical. Decades of automobile-oriented development have created built environments that make transit, walking, and biking for seniors inconvenient, difficult, or just dangerous. And the perception of danger can be just as big as the actual danger itself. So even when seniors do choose to walk or bike for transportation, they're more at risk for serious injury or death. And that is really what we're working on across the state. In San Jose in particular, persons age 61 and older make up 44% of all pedestrian and bicycle fatalities in between 2007 and 2011, yet they make up only 14.5% of the city's population. So we see a disproportionate number of seniors being injured and killed when they're walking and biking, and I would say that's predominantly when they're walking. The city expects and embraces that their senior population is going to grow threefold by 2040, and our goal really is not to see that number of people being injured and killed while walking and biking grow as well. At the same time, the city is looking to shift the mode share to walking and biking to up to 30% of all trips taken. And so while we increase that level, we really want to see the number of injuries and fatalities go down, and as our senior population grows, more and more people out biking and walking for leisure or for transportation. And so in response to this, we didn't have a local walk organization to support in San Jose, and so we stepped in as a statewide organization very locally, and in partnership with some senior partners, including Catholic Charities of Santa Clara County, Agents for Change through the Health Trust, and the Coalition for Retired Americans, or in California, the California Alliance for Retired Americans, we initiated a citywide STEPS coalition, and I'll talk a little bit more about what coalitions can do to really focus on this. And our first goal, I'm going to give a spoiler alert right now. We don't have senior safety zones in San Jose, even though it's a statewide code. And so this really has been our challenge, is getting this across as a city policy because it is allowed by the state manual of uniform traffic control devices. But senior safety zones establish a lower driving speed of about 25 miles per hour near senior facilities. So if you think about what a school zone looks like or a construction zone looks like, that's what a senior safety zone is. In the code, there is no definition of what a senior facility is, or what that radius around the facility is, or who would pay to establish that zone. So the code is there, and we fought long and hard to get it with our partners across the state, but it doesn't have a lot of teeth, and so we've been proposing a pilot program. And so this is more about the work around proposing that pilot program and how that has changed and how your advocacy needs to be nimble to keep seniors engaged and to keep your politicians engaged as well as their kind of north arrows turn at every step of the way. So the path that we laid out for our senior safety zones was with our coalition to unite, to ask the city committees and the council for senior safety zones, to attend public meetings and make comments, to send letters, to gather petition signatures, to host their own community forums, and to meet with their individual council members. In the city of San Jose, we do not have any at-large council members unless you consider the mayor, because we are a city manager-run city of a million people. So individual council members are very particular about what's happening in their districts, and I think that that's important when you're looking at a local level to know how that policy works for each of your local council members. So the critical committees and commissions we looked at were the City Senior Citizens Commission, the Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and our Transportation and Environment Committee. And these groups have three different roles. The Senior Citizens Commission is advisory to the City Council. The Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee in many cities and counties is often advisory to the Council. However, in San Jose, it's only advisory to the Department of Transportation head, which isn't really as strong as we would like to see it. And the Transportation and Environment Committee is actually a council committee, and so they're advisory to themselves. And if we could get them to make a recommendation to City Council, then City Council could establish a pilot program. And going back to that, what is a senior facility, our proposal was that we have 10 council districts, and that in each of those districts there is one primary senior community center that serves congregate lunch and has specific senior programming. There are other senior programs throughout the city. We have a number of community centers. But because those are the hubs in each district, if we established that, we'd have some equity across the board. We could see what it looks like in different parts of town and different land uses, as well as one of our senior mobile home communities. We have a lot of mobile home communities. Many of them are considered senior mobile home communities. Going back to the data that we saw in the previous presentation, you'll see my numbers are all over the place. I talk about 55 and older, 50 and older, 60 and older, 61 and older, and part of that is the issue of how certain studies define seniors, how certain groups define themselves. So that's why my numbers are a little all over the place. But we had been working with one senior mobile home community in particular that wanted a senior zone established, so we included that in our pilot ask. Our hope was that they'd host a hearing, direct to the Department of Transportation to establish the pilot, and then consider the pilot for future implementation. How to get there? We really wanted to break down advocacy for seniors into simple chunks. Seniors have a lot of commitments. They're passionate about a lot of things. It's important to figure out why this is important to them and why do you want to take their time up for this and what you're going to get out of it. So by breaking it down into just a few things, making your voice heard, sharing your personal story, because I'll go to every meeting and I'll give public comment, but it's not as impactful as a senior getting up and talking about why this is important to them. Using data and making an ask. And sometimes you have to do that in a minute or two when you have public comment. So working with them on how to do that is part of our work. So some of how to share your story. Do you walk or take the bus? How do you identify as a walker or bus rider? Does speeding traffic make you feel unsafe? How would senior zones improve your daily life? And do you support senior zones? Very simple questions. They don't need to be technical. It can be as simple as, I'd like to go to the store on the corner, but I can't cross the street in time and I don't feel safe. Having community action events, we've held vigils, we've held walks. You can kind of spice them up for the media and call it a run for your life across the crosswalk in front of City Hall if you want, to get the signals retimed. and other things like that. It's important to really include all of your communities. In the city of San Jose, we are approximately divided into thirds. We're a very diverse community of about a third Latino, a third Caucasian, and a third Southeast Asian, primarily Vietnamese. So we've got a lot of languages to cross, a lot of cultural barriers to cross, but we want to be inclusive of everybody, and we try to reach out to do that. Using data. I don't expect everybody to remember this data, and I am the bearer of bad news on most occasions because I track all of this kind of grim data. But the number one thing we want people to understand is that speed increases severity. The number one cause of death in a pedestrian collision is speed. And so if you're hit by a driver going 20 miles per hour, you have a 9 in 10 chance of surviving that impact as an average healthy human being. Seniors are more at risk and more vulnerable, and there is more specific data that we can share, but these are kind of general across-the-board numbers that are easy to share. As a driver, going 40 miles per hour doesn't seem like that much more. As a pedestrian, the numbers flip, and only 1 to 2 people will survive an impact out of 10 people if they're hit by a driver going 40 miles per hour. So if you have a road that's labeled 25 miles per hour, but the average speed may be 30, 35, 40, that's something to bring up. These are hard to remember. It took me a while to remember. So think about your audience and how you can kind of get that information across. This graphic is actually from the It's Up to All of Us campaign from the California Department of Public Health. So if you can't remember how many people survive a crash at 40 miles per hour, you probably will remember that hitting someone at 40 miles per hour is like throwing them off a 4-story building. And then think about how many people might survive that. So being able to amend your data and make it more palatable in bite-sized bits is really, really helpful. Collision data. We are lucky in the state of California that most of our collision data goes into a statewide database, and one of our partners, UC Berkeley SafeTrack, compiles all of that into something that the average person really can pull their data from and make different maps. You can make a heat map, you can make a safe routes to school map, based on different times. And so we do do workshops to teach folks how to use this if they're particularly interested in particular corridors, etc., how this information will be helpful to them, and they can show a visual to their council member, whoever the decision maker is. Showing that generally seniors are at greater risk. These are pedestrian fatalities in California, the rate per 100,000. Very simple numbers where you just see that seniors are at greater risk of being injured or killed. And then we can get into city-specific data if that's what you're looking at and not talking about a statewide. So again, as I mentioned, seniors make up about 14.5%, or our population 60 and over makes up about 14.5% of the population in San Jose. That's about the national average. Yet, they make up 44% of pedestrian and bicyclist fatalities. That's a pretty big statistic that people pay attention to. And again, that expected growth in the senior population is 3 times. Again, another way to look at the numbers. I have statistics from this year already, so I try to keep running tallies so we can talk very openly about what's going on in the present date. We'll compare it to homicide rates. Our council members will get up in arms about homicides. That's a huge issue. I'm not trying to pit pedestrian fatalities against homicides, but we have twice as many traffic fatalities in the city of San Jose so far this year than we do homicides. Twice as many. And almost as many of those people are pedestrians as those who have been killed in homicides. That's an important statistic I think people need to hear to really understand that this is an epidemic in our communities. We have all the numbers, we can break them down, we can see the disproportionate rate of pedestrian fatalities versus the percentage of all traffic fatalities. And again, I can break this down for this year as we go on. So these are all information you want to give your senior advocates. And don't forget to make an ask, and that's hard, and I do it all the time when you have a minute or two to talk. But you have to end with an ask, and so we want to make sure that people get that information. And what is their ask? Do they just want to get across the street safely? Is it one intersection? That's fine. That's a great start. Is it just getting to the bus stop or moving the bus stop? What is their ask? And so we've had some successes. We've had a great number of successes. We've been able to realign bus stops with crosswalks and crossings to get people to and from the senior centers and grocery stores. We've been able to improve some of our crossings. This is not an ideal crossing, but it is approximately 100 times better than it was. So we do have to embrace some of the baby steps that we make and actually lift up our department and our agency successes as well to keep those partnerships strong. And signal retiming is critical. We work to change the statewide code on signal timing. I can get into those details separately. But in the city of San Jose, these are the numbers of the signal retimings that we've been able to accomplish to allow for 2.8 feet per second crossing time versus the standard 3.5 feet per second, which used to be 4, and makes a big difference for people crossing the street. More successes is that the city has adopted some flexible design guidelines. And what we see with that is really a complete streets component being added in. And so educating our advocates on what these guidelines are, what all the jargon planners and engineers are going to use is really important so that they're equipped with the tools to talk the same language when they're speaking to them and not be talked down to. And then our mayor signed the Mayor's Challenge for Safer People, Safer Streets, which was the U.S. Department of Transportation's challenge. It was one step away from actually saying we would be a Vision Zero city. And so Vision Zero is the very simple but hard-to-reach policy goal of zero fatalities and zero serious injuries due to traffic collisions across any modes. And so our goal really was to get the city to get to that point and have seniors play a big role in that. And we got there in May, so we have Vision Zero San Jose now. That was after 42 traffic deaths last year, fewer than we've had this year so far, and 150 traffic-related injuries resulting in hospital care. And since then, in partnership with the Bicycle Coalition, we've produced a Vision Zero toolkit, which mentions seniors and talks about their advocacy, but also how other municipalities can start to think about traffic safety through the lens of Vision Zero. And so we had to change. We wanted to talk more broadly. We weren't getting any success or really anything sticking on that safe senior safety zone. So we started talking about safe routes for seniors as a more inclusive way of thinking about it. And we've gotten some successes with our partners, Agents for Change and the California Alliance for Retired Americans, where they've now adopted and are pushing for safe routes for seniors through the lens of Vision Zero, both statewide and at the local level. And they're really committed to working on that because they see how important it is. I don't really have time to get into this, but it is about empowerment and really accepting those small steps as we go along. We were at the Walking Summit last week, and we were really, the point was driven home that it's a relay marathon. We have to kind of accept the steps that we get as we go along, and it's hard to keep people engaged through that. So I think some of the lessons learned that are important on engagement is that you need a coalition of people to work on advocacy and groups. Otherwise, you're going to have burnout. You're going to have one voice that's much louder than any of the others and is speaking over other people's needs. And you have less accountability from your decision makers if you don't have a coalition. And you want that coalition to be diverse from the outset, but continue to grow that because your network will expand. Open and meaningful dialogue between community members and the government produces the best results for safety. And so that requires compromise at times so that you can have that open dialogue with your agency partners. And also bringing in other agency partners, it was interesting to me that when Vision Zero San Jose came out, there was not one mention of the County Public Health Department as a partner. And I said, there's not one mention of the County Public Health Department as a partner. And they said, oh, who should we talk to? But if we weren't considered to be really partners as advocates, they wouldn't have asked me who they should talk to or cared that I connected them to the Department of Public Health. And so establishing those relationships is extremely important for the long term, for that relay marathon. And really trying to get the community engagement as part of the process throughout every step. That's project development, project prioritization, and the implementation, hopefully. And be nimble. Again, we didn't get our first pilot goal, but now we have Vision Zero, which is a much broader and much more long-term policy, and we're able to insert that safe routes for seniors language and speed zones into that And include Vision Zero, and I'd be happy to talk about this more offline, and Safe Routes for Seniors concepts into work around age-friendly communities. So that's another process we're seeing happening at both the city and county level, and a number of you are probably seeing that at home as well. And transportation is really that thread that gets people to their affordable housing and their medical appointments and their daily needs. Thank you very much.